Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fungula. On this episode, my guest started as a clown, then became a magician, and now has their very first comedy and magic special out right now on YouTube, Mr. Stephen Bargatze. This is his first special at 70 years old. This conversation is so beautiful. We get into the matitudes, the gratitudes. He takes us on an emotional roller coaster. This is a good one. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. Before you do, though, you know the drill. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. Spread the word, okay? Tell everybody. Go to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. Follow us. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All the things. Also, if you want to be a part of the podcast in some way, you can call us, you can text us, you can email us to tell us what you're grateful for, what you're mad about, or if you need advice in your life, you're going through something, you would like our perspective, we would love to give it to you. Danielle will give you all the information on how to do that.
Yes. So give us a call or text us at 747-300-5380. You can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, on angela.com, there's a form that you can fill out there as well. And please don't forget to tell me your name.
Yeah. Don't forget to tell us your name. And if you want to tell us where you're from, too, why not? Tell us. Tell us all your information. Anything you want to tell us about yourself. We would love to know it. But in the meantime, enjoy this episode with Stephen Bargatze.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on. Let go, let go.
Stephen, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I bet we are.
Let's talk about your frames.
I feel terrible. I got, what? My wife bought this outfit for me.
It's adorable.
For coming here. Yeah, it's because she doesn't want women looking at me. But
so she gave you the shortest shorts ever?
She didn't tell me I was going to be set. I thought I was going to be behind a desk. I forgot. I've seen your podcast enough that I should have known not to wear this outfit.
No, I love it. It's adorable. Frames.
It matches.
Your wife did this?
Yes. She went out and said, I got you.
Look at her go. Look at her go.
Look at her.
She's stylish?
No.
No? She just knows how to dress you?
No. She has a really good taste.
Okay.
And especially her own. All of our marriage growing up, I bought all of her clothes.
Really?
Almost all of them.
So you were the stylish one.
I was the guy. But I bought mannequins.
What was on the mannequin? Give me that.
I want all of that. And there was many times where I would go, ma'am, can I talk to you? You're about my wife's size. If you were going to buy this, what size would you buy? And it works.
Yeah. My husband buys all my clothes.
Does he? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's the fashionable one in our relationship. Anything I buy is Amazon, probably, or like TJ Maxx, or Freebie.
TJ Maxx is nothing better.
Freebie giveaways. This shirt right here, a fan gave me when I performed in San Antonio, and it says the Sun City, which I guess that's San Antonio.
Right.
But a fan gave me this, and I still wear it. And that was like over a year ago. And I love free stuff.
half of my wardrobe is t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So a question that I had in my brain, we're going to do matitudes and gratitudes. I want to find out what gets on your nerves, what gets under your skin, and then obviously what you're grateful for throughout your life. But something that I was thinking of was like you had your career growing up, like, as your kids were young, you had your career as a clown, right?
Right. I started as a clown.
As a clown and then magician. Mm-hmm. Now you're touring. You have your special coming out. Did you think that you would be touring and having a special coming out in this era of your life?
Yeah, almost like, well, did I even think I'd still be doing it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Nathan's question. How long are you going to do this?
Yeah.
But, I knew I couldn't do the clowning forever.
Uh-huh.
And I always knew the clowning was a stepping stone. I stuttered really bad as a kid, stammered, and have a speech impediment. I was bitten by a dog when I was young, and he tore.
Really?
Yes, a bulldog tore from here to here, and it took part of my tongue. That's why.
No way.
And I had like six, almost years. I'd go once every 6 to 7, 8 months. I'd have a plastic surgery to fix it because the white wound was brand new.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 3.
No.
Yeah.
And oh, so, God, it breaks my heart.
No, but, you know, reconstruction makes you pretty handsome. That
work. Yeah, look at that. Yeah,
but also, this is since most of my face is my butt.
Really?
So that gives me bad breath a lot. Yeah. But other than that, you know, I just talk funny, and I had to get over that. And then, and in doing magic and everything like that, I found I had a really good clown voice. And I met Ronald McDonald. That's how I kind of got into magic. So I would go when he got ready, I would get ready. And if you look at the album cover, Nathan's first album, Yelled At by a Clown, You will see that I look a lot like Ronald McDonald. I had to do exactly the face.
Yeah, that was your inspo. Yeah,
but being a clown gave me courage to get up in front of people and actually perform and talk. I wasn't afraid anymore because I had this. And I knew other clowns would beg me to go, How do you do that voice? Get a dog. Just stick a dog there and you'll be fine. But it just gave me some courage. But also then I did, after a while, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do this forever. But even as a clown, I always had adult comedy in there. I mean, not adult nature, but jokes aimed for the adults that they were going to laugh. Yeah. They were going to get more than the kids. And then I would also do tricks for adults, and even in my kids' show. And I'd like the news.
Because the parents were always going to be there.
Yeah. So they would go, wow, I don't know how that's done either. And then they would ask me, you know, hey, we're having a party.
Yeah.
And so then I would take the makeup off. And so eventually I got away from that.
You wouldn't be the clown at the adult party.
That's right. Yeah. I wanted to be that guy.
That's so funny. You bring up his album, Yelled At by a Clown. There's so much more context when you realize it's yelled at by a clown with a speech impediment.
That's right.
That's even better.
Way better.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so then you transition into magic for adults.
Right.
Were you self-taught? Did you go to school?
There was no school back then. I just met another magician, Tom Hart, Ronald McDonald. And we knew right away that, you know, I was going to have to be funny because of my voice. I was going to talk and everything. He was more serious. He was funny, but in a scripted kind of funny thing. And more things that are happening funny where I could just be kind of crazy. And I always wanted people to wonder if I'm all there. Or is this guy really?
Yeah.
And then in the beginning, on most of my regular show, you know, the first 3 tricks I do don't seem not to work. But I'm setting you up for at the end, everything, you go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
He was taking me for a ride the whole time.
This is so interesting. I'm just putting this together now because, okay, so you would set up this moment where it looked like you were feeling and it is like awkward.
Yes.
But you're thriving in that moment because you know what you're setting up
for. I'm getting ready.
Something that I always admired and made me anxious about Nate is that he would thrive in those silent moments in between bits. And I would be like, I can't breathe. Say another joke. And he's just sitting in that silence, in that awkwardness. He got it from you. Yeah, that's crazy.
No, most definitely. You remember his joke about where he tells the whole story and it was on being in Canada in that one part of town. And
I don't remember.
He tells a whole entire joke. Nothing. Then he he gets the information. It's on Full Time Magic. Then he goes back and tells the exact same joke, but with a little context, and it's one of the funniest things you ever hear.
Wow.
It wouldn't be near as funny, but to have the guts to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, to be able to do it, to be willing to just go, because I know something's coming that you don't. Yeah.
That's cool, man.
You don't like silence?
No, it makes me anxious.
You're, but.
Yeah, the second, if I'm in a conversation with multiple people, and it dies down, I'll throw in something awkward just so there's no silence. I'm the one that's trying to fill it up with white noise and just like, man, it's hot today, huh, everyone? I actually started practicing letting silence happen in those types of situations purposely. I have to say it in my brain.
Almost count
and
it off.
I have to say, it is not your responsibility to keep this conversation going.
Wow.
And I have to tell myself to stop. And that's like my practice of letting silence be silence.
Right.
And somebody else will say something and keep the conversation moving. But it's something that I actually have to practice because it makes me uneasy.
Right.
I don't know.
And you thrive. I'm just the opposite because I like it so much. I think that sometimes the comedy that happens in their mind is probably better than what I'm even going to say. So I like to go and leave it there. And then their mind gives them time to go, oh, my gosh, I was there. And they may go somewhere I'm not going.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to get that little laugh. And then when I say what I say, they go, oh, okay, yeah. And
the real
I'll
laugh.
I'll get a second laugh out of all of that. So I'm not, when I first come out, I don't say anything. I mean, in the beginning, because maybe the clown back up, but I wore black checker pants and I had a tux and I had my playing card down my vest. So I'm definitely a character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know this guy. That I always wore a top hat. And I wore the top hat because of when I was working at Opryland with Nathan, eventually would go to work there. But I would do the clowning and then started doing some magic and the hotel opened. And so they would hire us to do walk-around magic.
Mm.
But we all had to wear the same outfit. I got like a black and white tuxedo thing. So I looked like a waiter. So every time I go up to do a trick, somebody would like go, we need ketchup.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a dad. I go, well, I'll get you ketchup. Let me go find out.
So
I put the hat on so that when I went up there, they go, something's not right.
Yeah, he's not here to bring me ketchup.
That's right. And so I'm a character. So when I first come out, I like to be real silent and sometimes too long, but I like for them to make up their mind what they're about to see and think it out.
Uh-huh.
But it's really funny. Now, when I work with Nate, when I first started working with him and his crowds, which is your people, you don't know and you just go, okay, this could be really bad.
Uh-huh.
And you almost feel sorry about Nate's dad.
Oh, he just let his dad come out. Oh, how cute. Okay. Here's my other question. So, did you retire and come back when Nate started bringing you out, or were you always still touring?
I was always still doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I've always been mainly in the corporate world, and just doing a show. I would go do a show, and then if I didn't get two or three offers from that show, then I knew I did something wrong.
Okay.
I'm saying I've never in my whole life, really, almost never had relied on web pages, on social media, and all of that stuff. All just I'd go to your corporate event, your husband would be there, or somebody else, and they would see me. They go, well, he would be good for our guys, and then I get reinvited to that and to do it. So I've always stayed working. I did comedy clubs early when in the 80s, because they were everywhere in bowling alleys. Everybody was trying to have a comedy club. But then I did walk away from that. And just to be honest with you, it just got so dirty, the level I was on, that I felt dirty. I couldn't invite my friends and everything. I was going to say, you have to sit through some junk. And I just didn't. So I go, I didn't like that feeling. So I did. I love churches. I did tons of churches. And that's the same thing.
They would let you do magic in churches?
Yeah. And I mean, you have to talk about it. It was real funny that one of the things I did is, so I do card tricks in the church. And so I'd get a lady up and whoever's doing it. And I'd say,
we're not gambling.
I go, you know what this is? and they go, deck of cards. And you know what that means? And they, what? I go, one of us is going to hell. Now, I don't want it to be me, so you shuffle. And I think what they do, they laugh. And then some also I will go, but think about it. You'd be okay with this if they were Uno cards, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then everything's fine.
Uh-huh.
So I think we're going to survive this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to kind of explain and just get them over it.
Right, right, right.
And stuff.
Put your guard down. We don't,
And there's some churches might have more. I went to Trevecca Nazarene College. They had no problems with it. They had clowning and everything and puppetry. And so churches that go through all that are going to be fine. I'm not saying if they got snakes in the back, they're going to want to see me up there finding somebody's cards.
Sure, sure, sure. I get that. Danielle, who is the people at your church? You guys, the guy who did the phone books or something, didn't you?
Oh, that tears them?
Yes. It was like the bodybuilders for Jesus, or something. And they would tear the phone books or they would break.
Yeah, I've seen that. They're great. Yeah.
Yes. We had those. Bible Man. I feel like I also saw.
You had the Banana Man. Do you remember him?
That sounds familiar. Banana Man.
The band. What was it? God, I'm trying to think. This guy was so famous for our kids.
I also remember we had a magician one time because I did all the VBSs in the camps and it was always, you know, at some point there was a magic trick about the empty tomb, you know. It always led back to that.
Well, I'm going to say the answer is Jesus.
Yes.
But I did not want to be that guy because there were so many of them.
Yeah.
So when I did churches, I did the same show I do when I work in Vegas when I work with Nate. Exact same show. Uh-huh. But I would, at the end, share my testimony or talk about my life and what God has done. So I always liked it that way. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that. There was a period in my time I was a children's pastor and for about 3 or 4 years. And again, I would have to do a trick every week. That's different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a Bible school thing. Yeah. So you want to have the blood and the tomb and my favorite thing that ever happened church-wise, it was in Gallatin, Tennessee, but I had a little conference and I taught a lot of pastors and youth people tricks you can do for that. Like, these are little lessons you can teach.
This guy
went and did it, and his church decided that he was from the devil now and he should be fired because he did a magic trick. And there was, but he doesn't tell me this.
Oh, no.
What he does is he hires me for Sunday night for the youth. And so I get there and he goes, by the way, I have only got I got 6 weeks left. They're letting me go because I did magic. And I'm going, and you got me here?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I just want to prove a point to him. And he goes, there are three ladies on the committee. Uh-huh. They're right up front.
Yeah.
And you'll know them right away. And So I just did my show.
Uh-huh.
It was great. I never believed in like giving an invitation as a performer.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're not coming for Christ. They're coming to go, that was a great bowling ball trick, or that was a great. So I want them to know what they're doing. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So it turned out great. A lot of kids, you know, rededicated their life. They did different. So they saw all that. So, but at the end, this lady, I've never heard, she had like one of those muumuu dresses on. She had orange hair, really tall, beehive. And so she comes up and she goes, I talk about the first magicians were sleight of hand artists. They were legerdemons, and they actually were called fools for Christ, jesters, because the real sorcerer, the word in the Bible is for a magician is sorcerer. So it's a potion, it's drugs and stuff. And this is like what I heard from another guy. The King James was tricked by one of those, and he thought, you must have put me under a spell. And then I woke up, and that's how you did your thing. So he threw magicians under the bus with everybody else. So that's when that's how they got the bad name. So I try to explain that. I say we get our word, you know, pharmacy comes from the Greek word. So you should be aware of Walgreens, not me. but anyway, so I did all that for these three ladies. So she comes up, and she, I don't know the scripture now, but she waked up and said, she goes, you practice deception. And so by practicing deception, no matter what you said, it's wrong.
Man.
And the Holy Spirit came on me. And I said, let me ask you.
Get him.
I go, do you dye your hair? It was the greatest moment of my life. She just like melted. Steam came out of her mouth.
Yes.
And she walked away. And they let him go that Sunday. He didn't even make the 4 weeks. He called me the next day. He goes, they told me to pack my stuff up.
That is the best comeback I've ever heard. And I'm putting it in my pocket for if I ever need it. I'm going to use it. Even if it doesn't even make sense in the situation, I'm just going to use it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Wow. Well done.
All right. It wasn't me. It came from somewhere else.
Oh, that's so good. These are really, really incredible stories of just how you started in here. Can I ask how
you can
old
ask
you
anything.
Are?
I'm 70. I'll be 71 in November.
Wow. Yeah. 70. So 70 years old. Is this your first special?
Oh, yeah. It's my only special. We made it for the casket. It's got to have something to play. The play right there. So when people are in line, because I always said, you know, I take all the photos in our family, so I'm not in very many of them. So they're going to go, what did he do?
There's going to be QR codes at your funeral just everywhere.
Look it up. This
so
is life.
Oh, my gosh. So you are 70 years old.
Yes.
With your first special. What was that like? Taping that. I was actually supposed to be there, and I forget what happened. I couldn't make it. I think I flew back in town that same day, and I was exhausted or something. I don't remember. My apologies. I didn't make it to your taping. What was that like for you, filming a special?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted... It was special because my daughter Abigail was so much kind of help doing the direct talking to me and doing that.
Yeah.
And Derek was all involved, and Nathan... Seeing my family,
yeah,
that's what made it special.
Yeah.
And I had four very good magicians, maybe five, friends of mine that helped me along the way that did that. Mike King has a show, in one of the longest running shows in Vegas. He allowed me to come out there to take over his show for that week so I could run it.
Whoa.
And stuff like that.
That's incredible.
That's what I remember as much as just how kind and nice it was. And stuff, but so I mean I don't know. I haven't watched it. I can't watch it.
You can't watch yourself.
I talk too funny, and I'm going, what did he say? I don't understand. But I don't know. I can watch just a little bit. I can't watch myself.
Yeah,
I can't even like on this podcast.
You're not gonna watch this episode?
I don't know. It'll be hard because I see all the things I said wrong or I left out.
Yeah.
That I wish I did.
Nobody
will know. I did the public
figures.
Figures. Uh-huh. Yeah, I had to think of public figures. And
you're 70.
We talked about
pranks,
and I left out the best prank of all.
And you didn't do it.
And I can't get over that.
Well, how about this? I just filmed my special in February, released it in May.
I've already
seen this. You know, we do two shows, record the early and the late show. On the early show, I forgot a joke.
A whole joke?
A whole joke. I forgot it. The second show, guess what? Forgot it again.
No way.
Yes.
You have to go do two more.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like, it's
well,
a
you save
tag
it for
joke.
Your next one. Oh,
so
I know, but that's the best.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the best.
I can't even save it for the next special because it was like a tag.
What do you think? Did you know you left it out after the first taping? Did you figure it out?
No, I didn't. I didn't figure it out until it was all done.
Wow.
And I started thinking about it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember saying this joke. Did I not say this joke?
There's
and when I finally
worse.
Got my footage, I saw it. I forgot to say it. And once I saw the first show, I knew I didn't say it in the second show. It was just completely out of my brain.
And being a tag is the worst.
Yeah.
If it would have just been
And it was
else.
A long tag. It wasn't just like a one-liner tag.
Yeah.
It was like a little second story to go along with it. That
yeah,
was just,
it's
gone. It's gone now.
On top.
I know.
Everything.
I know it. So, I mean, I forget things too. And then I'll be like, oh, well.
I haven't even figured it all out because I hadn't watched it. Was most of yours from one of the shows? Most of the tape came from the first or the second.
In it, it was the show I didn't think it would be. So my first show, my first taping, the early show, I felt like the energy was too hype. Like they were so excited to be a part. Yes, that they were trying to help me. And it was distracting me in the way I deliver. So in the footage, you can't tell that the audience is giving me the most. I could tell because it was messing with my timing of how long it usually takes me to like do it.
You should work on pausing and being.
That's what it is. But so they would laugh for too long. And I'm like, no, you're messing it up because this is not even the real punchline. This is just like the mini punchline before I hit you with it. And now it is too long. So I thought for sure I was going to use my late show, but then watching it back, I ended up using the early show, mostly of it. But I mean, that's things that get on my nerves. But what
I want to know this: did you do anything different so you could tell? I've heard like some people wear a rubber band and move it, or even something little so that when you see it, only you know
that's the early or the late show.
This is the first show. You didn't do. You could have put a ring on a different finger.
No.
I like that. I like doing it. Nathan on his very first Tennessee Kid, his hairstylist didn't show up. So he had this big curl. And then on the second one, they got one. So this is why he hired Eric, because he thought they were going to have one, and they didn't necessarily did. No. So on the second one, they straightened it out. So the whole show, you see.
Curl, like no
wind,
curl.
You look like the wind blowing. So you can tell. Oh, so no. He went a little too far.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't realize that. Hilarious. No, I would have just been like, continuity. Yep. I got messy hair in the first show. Gonna have messy hair in the second show. Is what it is.
How much time was in between yours?
30, just, 45 minutes?
It was fast. It was a real quick turnaround.
Just enough to turn around.
Yeah, just enough to turn around. It was a small venue, too. The Ryman was my special before that. This one was
that's the one I've seen. Have I not seen your new one?
My new one's called Ugly Baby. It was filmed at the El Rey Theater in L.A.
I feel embarrassed to be here. But
get out of here. I'm done with this.
I'm going to run right home and watch it. I saw the Ryman one. It was fantastic.
Thank
I love the light of you. Everything was great.
Thank you very much. I love that special, too. It's one of my favorites.
One of her favorites. Yeah. That's slapping to me. That's a slap. I think she's going, oh, you're 70. You got one. You probably don't have many more left than you.
Talk to me when you get to 7, okay?
Bring a picnic basket. I may be buried somewhere. You have to have a long talk by the time you do your 70.
Oh, my gosh. When you're gone, if you have ashes, you're going to have a different magician do a joke with your ashes. So you're still doing it.
Still in the there's a magician's graveyard in Colon, Michigan.
It's actual graveyard?
Yes, mainly just for magicians.
So their spouses don't get to be with them when they go?
No. And that's the sad thing. And that's why Carol's not, my wife's not agreeing to it. I want to be cut in half and put half there and half wherever she's at. She can pick either half she wants. but they have, twice a year, magicians have a big conference there, and they all go, and they go around and talk. There's too many to talk about, so they talk about 8 or 9, they tell long stories.
Wow.
If I was cut in half, I'd have to be one they talked about. Uh-huh. Don't you think? They'd have to go, you won't believe this. He was sawed in half.
Yeah.
What a great story.
That's a great way to make sure you're invited into that.
That little group.
That group.
They have to. They say, was it any good? We don't know. But
we don't know, but we got the first
he
half.
Had one special somewhere.
Stephen, what's something that gets on your nerves? What's a mad attitude of yours? What's something that just irks you?
Getting hurt. And
injured or
injured,
heart?
Hurt. Injured right now. My body. I'm very hurt right now. I have to have surgery in 8 days.
For what?
For rotator cuff. So this right here is killing me.
Sitting like that?
No, just moving it. Oh, once I get it there, set it there, I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
But I've dealt with pain most of my life. So, I've had so many surgeries. But just that process of being hurt and old and stuff gets on my nerves. I think just getting old.
Did you do something to injure that? Or you just woke up one day and it was
No, but it's over the years of carrying. I have equipment. So I've carried it, putting it up in the thing. I don't like, I'm not necessarily the great. I don't like a lot of help because they don't know. I just did a comedy club. And now it's different now because of Nate. A lot of Nate fans are coming. So I did Huntsville as a favor. Went down there. And so I do it. And afterwards, it seemed like everybody wanted a picture and talked to me, which is fine. But I was with John Delaney. I don't know. The guy don't know how to pronounce his name. But him and Eli, and they got impatience, I guess. They decided to pack up all my equipment. You would think would be a very nice gesture.
Uh-oh.
It has destroyed me.
Oh, no.
Because since then, I've done like 4 shows on my own, but nothing's where it belongs.
Oh, no.
And it's like, where is this? I don't know, and I can't find it. So even them being nice and stuff. And Abigail is one of the few people in the world that knows a little bit about how to put some of my stuff up.
Uh-huh.
But she's learning what not to put up.
Uh-huh.
Because I have to know where that little piece is to make them. Because I don't know if you know, but magic's not real. Yeah. Lot, some of it has to do with batteries.
Yeah.
But it's all this stuff that I got to know and keep
that's
up with.
That's all misplaced.
I just want to be the guy that does it. But yeah. By doing that, it takes time, mm-hmm. and people have to be. And I once heard that Seinfeld, a friend of mine was a magician and worked with him young, and he said...
I thought you said Seinfeld was a friend of yours. I was name drop over here.
No. He's a friend. He was a friend of my friend, said he worked with him a couple of times, and uh-huh. he said Seinfeld just wouldn't work with him because you got too much stuff. I don't have time.
Oh, wow.
To wait for you. Set you know, we have to get to the airport and take that, and we
the
have to go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Pat Hazel was his name, and Pat, mm-hmm. We did that, but it was really funny. It's just like very, said, not. I find somebody, I want somebody that's going to walk in and walk off.
Uh-huh.
And there's something nice about what you do. I have to get there early. I have to set up.
Uh-huh.
Also, I have to kind of, you know, you've seen me enough to know I kind of like to pick on people. I'm uh-huh. so opposite of Nate.
Yeah.
Where Nate would never say nothing bad about somebody. I'm going to wear you
uh-huh.
out.
Uh-huh.
And I like to meet people.
Uh-huh.
Even when I do the arenas with Nate, as soon as the doors yeah. are open, I've got there. Everything. I'm out there meeting people because I got to bring somebody up.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling them what we're doing, but uh-huh. I'm finding out your personality.
Yeah.
And to see, are you too
much? Do you
much?
Ever pick somebody and then they're like way up there?
Way. Oh, yeah. No, way up there. If I had to, I would have to move them.
Yeah.
Also, I like to crawl over the seats and go get somebody some old man. I'm uh-huh. big old man coming at you.
Yeah.
But I can do
another
that.
Another way to get injured.
Yeah. Well, they all hate that. But what I like to do, if I don't get to meet them, I'll try to pick a couple ladies out in the row. Like, I'll take that girl, uh-huh. this girl, that lady. There's three. So uh-huh. I crawl over and I head, like I'm heading towards you.
Uh-huh.
And if I see you, if you're shutting down and getting uh-huh. mad, but then I'm going to just skip you and go to the next uh-huh. one because you can't tell.
Sure.
What I like somebody that does this. It's like, oh my gosh, is he coming towards me?
Uh-huh.
And then
that's who
they,
you pick?
If they look up.
That's where they make the mistake?
Yes, they surrender.
They give you the, is he looking at me? And
then they go, I'm done.
Uh-huh.
This is happening. Then I know that that's that person's good. But mm-hmm. I would rather have them. And unfortunately, sometimes the people, because of the lighting and everything, you can't pick somebody in the 12th row. You have to be within three or four rows for you to stay in the light. So I like them to be there early, but those people don't come that early.
No, they don't.
They're the worst.
They're like, we know where our seat is.
Yeah. Nobody taking it. So
you ever pick
I'd
a
rather,
dud?
Oh, mini duds.
Oh, man.
I pick, and it's the ones that all of a sudden the light hits them and they think I'm in show business.
Uh-huh. Oh, and they try to be the funny one.
Yeah, they want to step on all your lines and they try to throw their jokes in.
Yeah.
And all
that's
that. And
mistake.
You just go, just be normal.
Uh-huh.
Just be a person.
Yeah.
And go with it. But I've seen it. I'm going to make you a star.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're going to be, and especially if it's a private court, you're the one they're going to talk to forever.
Yeah.
I get a bald guy and stick a plunger on his head.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it. I suck the information into his head from the other guy. But he does a trick that nobody knows.
Uh-huh.
He's the only person in the room that knows what he did. Now it's in his life uh-huh. that he can go for the rest of his life.
That's right.
Go, yeah, I got powers. I can do this. I can read your mind. Or he could tell. I don't, you know, but hopefully.
Yeah.
I made him very special. And I want everybody, this weekend, I pick on teenagers too, uh-huh. kids. And I've picked on this older teenager. She's 14, 15 years uh-huh. old. But she was so sassy back to me. Oh, I loved it.
Oh.
She wasn't too much.
Okay.
She was just
the right amount.
Yeah. And she corrected me on, her name was Julia.
Uh-huh.
I go, all right, Julie, you can go. And she goes, it's Julia. I go, really, you're going to call me out on just one letter? You're going to take this time to call me out. Good luck in getting married. And she did just what you did. She just died laughing and go. And then she had a comment. But after the show, she came up. She said, this was the best time I've ever had in my life.
That's cool.
Because she got to experience.
Yeah.
But she, you know, who knows what she'll do in her life.
Yeah.
But, she overcame. She got in front of a bunch of people, and she was a star, and she didn't do it too much. Or she wasn't,
that's cool.
Competition, but you just go with it.
What, when you go on the road, what's the longest amount of time that you leave your wife at home?
Yeah, it was way different. when we were younger and stuff, getting in all of this. Sure. You know, I would always try to be on the weekend and stuff. And when Nathan and them got around, I had a chance to go to Vegas and for a job and to work and to stay. And it was going to be 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
But I decided not to because it was actually an audition. Do you want to come and live here and be there? And I knew I didn't want, at that time, I just didn't want to raise my kids there.
Yeah.
And also Nathan was playing baseball and all that, and I did all of that.
Yeah.
And so I thought it's important that I be there at their stuff. And then by the time Abigail came along, things was happening again. And I always felt like I was gone too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I wish I'd have been more time with her and everything.
Yeah.
And so I always felt bad about that. But I have a deal with Nate, too, now, because I know I've lived his life. And so me and my wife, I will never miss a Harper's game. And I said, I will always be there, especially when you can't. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we missed the premiere of the movie, because Harper had a ball game that night.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to go to her ball game.
Wow.
Because somebody's going to be there, and I'm going to be there. I caddied for her when she played golf.
Wow.
We went to every soft game. We go to every horse riding game. And horse riding games are worse than recitals. There's nothing worse than a recital. They dance first and last. And you go, oh, my gosh, I got to watch. Wait till you go to a horse. They jump at 7:30 in the morning. They don't jump again till 4 in the afternoon. But you don't know that.
Uh-huh.
And you're just sitting there
going, who schedules this?
Who's jumping? When are you going to jump?
Uh-huh.
But we're there.
They schedule it strategically to make sure, like, there's always fans that stick around. Let's jump into some gratitude from your life.
Ooh,
from
wow.
Anything from your childhood to something that happened yesterday.
Something weird. I am glad that I got bit by that dog.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I'm proud of the way because it's so much me.
Yeah.
I don't regret it. I don't say I wish I didn't have. I mean, it was tough. When I would stutter and was scared and talk and didn't read, I thought I was put in special ed because of it. Wow. And so I always thought I was stupid and everything, and for a long time. And I was left-handed. They used to beat us for being left-handed, and so I never knew it was okay. I thought I had a mom that me and her didn't get along. She always told me I was her big mistake, and nothing's right. So I thought, well, she's right. I'm dumb. I can't use my right hand. I never thought it was okay, and I thought I was stupid, but. I wouldn't change any of that. I wouldn't, because it's, you know, my mom was really mentally abusive to me. And I mean, she did told me I was her biggest mistake she ever made. They beat me up. I always deserved it, but beat me up. I had to have surgery once. They beat me up so bad.
God.
We fought and we hated each other all the way till her death. I mean, she hated me for the longest time. But all of that made me a better parent because I knew what I would never do that.
Yeah. Did you have siblings?
Yes. And each one of us have our own different story.
So they didn't get what you got?
No, but my sister did. And one of them was treated very special with my sisters, each one of them. My mom was a teen mom. Mm. And I have two of my sisters were teen moms. My brother was became a parent as a teen. So they went through, so they had their different fights and arguments that I'm not a part of. Mm-hmm. I ran away. So I was lucky. Mm-hmm. So, but one of the worst things in my world made me cry is I wasn't there for my sisters because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I really thought she hated me and I thought it was me. And I didn't realize that she had problems and mentally problems and she went through stuff and it wasn't going to be easy for them. I should have got them. Because my life turned out awesome, and they've struggled a lot of times with different things. They're all doing awesome now, but I could have took them away, and I should have took them away from all of that. I wish, you know, that. But also, I started traditions and things in our family and that we can do. And I don't think this is a big secret, but my daughter was a teen mother and with Caleb, who's awesome, and there's nothing harder than for a daughter had to tell her dad, you know, And I just remember she started crying and she just said, Dad, I made a big mistake. Mm. And I was able, because of my childhood, to go, your baby's not a mistake. Mm. Never will be a mistake. Mm. And we're not going to ever call him a mistake.
Oh.
And there couldn't have been nothing better that I could have told her. And that became because, you know, so I'm very grateful that I went through it so she didn't have to go through crap, because I already know what it felt like to be crap. Does that make sense?
100%.
Does that sound like something you should be grateful for? But
100% makes sense. And also, even, you know, in the same way you're grateful that you went through that, because now how it's affected your relationship with your daughter, and then even grateful for being bit by the dog, because that how that affected your life. When you talk about your sisters and like, I should have been there, I should have rescued them. Mm-hmm. They had their journey as well. Right. And maybe they are grateful for it, or maybe one day they will get to a place where they can say, I am grateful for the hard times that I had with my mom, because it made this, 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 and this part of my life. And if you would have altered that for them in the same way, if that dog didn't bite you and you didn't have this list that helped create your character and your clowning and all of that kind of stuff, they have exactly what they need for their story in whatever way they choose to do with that. It's a powerful thing, though.
I feel like I should put a nickel in a little thing. You'd be in my sight. Lucy, talking to Charlie Brown. I owe you a nickel. You made me feel great. Yeah. You know, one thing I'm really grateful, I was thinking, there, and I'm, oh my, I'm going to talk to you about grandkids. I want to make sure I do that, because that's top of the list. But I can't tell you how grateful I was that Nathan got hooked up with you.
Aww.
And it was at the time where he needed. We prayed for you without knowing who you are, because I want, you know, because of the comedy world.
Can you pray for me again? Can you listen?
Right now, come on. No, but, you know, I wanted a good influence and somebody that had morals and somebody that had, because the comedy world can tear you up, and especially going out on the road and going out with somebody.
Yeah.
And I knew your faith and I knew the kind of person. We saw it and I heard you. You came over to our house and all my wife's sisters were there and family, and they were the biggest fans of yours that on earth at that time. And the way you treated everybody in that room, and you made everybody, I mean, I just went, this is what you should be. This is this is the kind of person you want Nate to be. And he is, but I really felt like then you offered him a chance and he started going out with you, and you put him in front of a lot of people. But it was more about being with you.
Thank you.
We were very, very thankful for.
Oh, well, that's very special and kind of you to say.
Well, it's true. It's 100% true.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, we had some good times. My sister and I still talk about our Guam trip with Nate, and I have this.
He got some great jokes out of that.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Got some great jokes out of that. I have this old video. I got to find it, because this is like before smartphones. So I don't even know what kind of camera I'm using to video Nate being introduced onto the stage.
I would love to see
and
it.
We were on Saipan, the little island next to Guam. And the theater we're performing in is kind of like a cafeteria of a school, right? It's very small. And the way the host is introducing him, and I'm filming Nate thinking he's just gonna, you know, say, and please welcome, you know, Nate and Barkatsi, and then he walks out. But this, it's like Nate stops and then he looks back and like, do I go, do I not go? And then the guy just goes off on a tangent, and it's the funniest thing. And he's like, do I go now, like, when do I go out?
Do they want me?
It's so funny. I have to find that. It's in probably a hard drive somewhere, because it's so old.
It's in a computer.
It's so old. Yeah, those are some good times. Give me some more gratitude from your life.
you know, I'm gratitude that each one of my kids are a part of me that I see, but a better me. You know, Nathan does comedy. I've done it all my life. He's way better. He's mastered it in a way that I never did. Especially, he's been blessed with his career way better.
Yeah.
My son Derek was a missionary in Uganda, and they had four kids, as we all know, there's not a lot to do in Uganda. So you just have kids. But so he gave me my first grandchild. We'll talk about that. But I always felt like, you know, when I first found out about God and religion, and not religion, because we know religion will kill anybody, but just the faith and understand that I had, I didn't understand fathers. And somebody said, you got a heavenly father, our father. I didn't understand that father. I didn't have nothing to connect with that. But when I heard about Christ and he's your friend, okay, I could deal with that. Mm. And it changed my life right away.
How old were you when this
was,
change happened?
I was 17.
Wow. Yeah. You didn't grow right up before Christian before that?
No. I think I always knew God. I knew where he was. I mean, it was in the Catholic church. I knew who he was, that guy up there. But I didn't know him personally.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew about him.
Did you have a dad growing up?
Yes, but he was a severe alcoholic and very controlled by my mom and everything. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of problems himself. But I never really talked to him much, never had a conversation. Don't remember him much about it. I remember him more fear. Because he would have to be her punishment, you know, if we got in trouble. Then sometimes, you know, she'd beat us, and then he'd have to come and finish it and stuff like that. Just not much. But I would find out things about him that I really found that were pretty awesome. He really was a great guy. And it's a shame alcohol and my mom kind of beat him down.
Wow.
But he was a really good guy. And I didn't know that till he passed. But finding out that and changing, you know, you feel like God changed my life. He gave me a new life. I tried to take my life as a teenager. I shouldn't be here. I did it once, not very seriously, and once it was a done deal.
Wow.
If it wasn't, somebody found me and got me in the hospital, and they saved my life. And if it wasn't for that, 20 more minutes, I wouldn't have been here.
Wow.
And he's given me a second chance. And then so you feel like, well, then I guess I got to work for him the rest of your life.
I guess I'm indebted to you.
He granted me. But Derek has done that. You know, so my second son being that, and he's working in a Christian school. And he's also, I taught school. I actually went to college, even though it took me 6 years to get into college, but I got in. And graduated in four, but it was so. And I was the dumbest, but I'm the only one that graduated.
Wow!
2 months ago, Trevecca gave me an honorary doctorate. Speak of that special ed kid. I like to talk about how awesome that was. So Derek is in education, and he's a principal now of the school, and he runs it, and he's changing things around, and I see his effect in what he does, and other people's life way better than me.
Wow.
So I got two. Then I got Abigail, which was God's, I'll teach you. Boys are so easy. You know, you just go run around the block. You get a little girl and you go, oh my God, everything changed. And it was, I fell in love with Abigail right away. And she owns me. She still does. I still have to do everything she says. And I've always did it. But I had to survive the, I hate my mom and my mom hates me and the fight and where they kill each other. And stuff. I had to take her door off her bedroom and put it in the attic so she had no door to slam. And stuff. But Abigail is me. And she cares. She worked for the VA hospital. You did the tours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the tour that y'all did, I don't even know that, but Nathan came back and told me, you have to do these things because there's so much the downtime. They got nothing. You know, you go, hey, I'm funny. Come see me.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a joke. What? That's not how it works. But I could do a trick. So I could go to the soldiers. And so I did a trick with the guy that disarmed bombs, that million-dollar machine. I had to go over there and pick a card off, and it was the guy's card he was thinking of. And so that was a $250,000 trick. But I still do those. I'm going on one this summer. I've been in Iraq. I've been all the places.
Wow.
Kuwait, and got to do all this stuff.
That's incredible.
And but it all came from the y'all's, yours first, that Nathan said, this is what you should be doing. Man, and so I got in touch. So Abigail started that, doing that. Abigail's smart and went to school, and but she's also that fighting spirit. She's mm-hmm. the strongest person I know on earth. And so way better than I ever, yeah. you know, I thought I overcame stuff. She's overcome a lot of stuff,
yeah.
still doing it. And she's such a strong person.
Beautiful. So, you have incredible children.
I really do.
I have a question for you as a dad.
Okay.
This is a question that I asked my dad, and I don't have very many heart-to-heart vulnerable conversations with my dad. My dad and I are very funny with each other. We crack jokes, and we disagree on a lot of, you know, life issues, and so sometimes we'll annoy each other with those. But I had a conversation with my dad one time, and I'll just ask you the question that I asked him. As a dad, let's say there's a new dad sitting here and you're giving him advice on how to be a dad. What would you say is one thing that you did right as a father and one thing that you did wrong as a father that you would say, don't do it this way?
Right. Well, I mean, the wrong first. I mean, there were times. I remember one time Derek was working, helping him in a math problem or doing something. And I've often said that, like, some of the best coaches in the world and teachers of the world are not the best athletes in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that had the work at it.
Yeah.
The ones where it comes too easy. They don't get it because, yeah, you just knock the guy out of the way or do whatever. But that guy that had to figure out a way that got mm-hmm. three times bigger, he's a way better coach
mm-hmm.
and everything. And as dumb as I was, the only thing in school I was good in was math because that's just number things. And math is really why I'm a magician, because math is solving problems.
Yeah.
And so is the magician. How can I make this everybody not see this? And how can I trick people? It's the same part of the brain. So I'll never forget this, that I remember one time I just yelled at him and said, "Are you stupid? Why are you?" I just couldn't get that he couldn't get it.
Mm.
And when he cried, I just remember, oh, gosh, I'm the worst, you know. And it's to be patient with, you know. I wish I would have been more patient with my children and let them. But the thing I did right is I let each one of them be who they are and what they are with their strength. I mean, how do you have a son that goes to college, trying to go to college and do things, and you get his report card and he failed everything.
Uh-huh.
He failed bowling. Nathan failed bowling. How do you fail bowling? You know, he just called and said, I go up there ready to kill somebody because he's uh-huh. wasting our money and time. Uh-huh. And he goes, I think I just want to do comedy. And I go, I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's
awesome.
You know
what? Let's do that.
Yeah. And so I send him off.
Is it free? Do that.
No, it wasn't free at that time because it's Second City.
Oh, okay.
So, but I was willing to pay. When he told me he was going to New York, I had New York friends that worked there, and I would go just ride by there and see if he's working.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's out there barking and doing things, I know he's trying.
Yeah.
And if you're trying, I didn't want any of my kids not to try. This is what I would say. You got to let them try.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes a while. You know, in comedy, it's 8, 9, 10 years before you, not you,
yeah.
but most people.
It's true.
But it takes a long time to get where you are.
Mine was about 4 months. I'm so sorry.
You should be sorry. But the normal person.
Yeah.
But you got to let them try.
Totally.
Because you don't want him in his marriage or anything.
Right.
To just all of a sudden get mad and burning rubber. You know,
right.
I should have done that. I should have tried what I really want. So
how hard is that to do, though? Like letting your kids do their thing. Like, because you have to let go.
That's right. That's right.
As a parent, how do you do that?
Right. Right.
Just letting go. And I guess when they get to the point of like they can like make their own decisions, and even when you know this is not a good decision, And you can't do anything about it.
Right. Derek, my second one, came and told us that his wife, one of the smartest people on the planet, and she had one of the highest scores ever on a test, and that whatever that be, a doctor test is, that Trevecca's ever had. And then, so she's studying to be a doctor, and Derek is studying to be in the ministry and all that stuff at Trevecca. And then all of a sudden they go, we're going to quit college. And we're going to go to Africa, and we're going to live as missionaries. Whoa. And they were that close.
Wow.
And that was the, and, you know, so we did ask them to please finish school before you went. And then we will help you. So we did a little bribe there. But Celeste didn't go on. But she became a midwife. And had instilled has an awesome career.
Yeah.
And, but that was hard. But also, again, you can't have them saying that I didn't get to do what I thought I felt like I should be doing. Mm-hmm. We hated it because he took my first grandchild over to Uganda, who barely had electricity. We could only see her once a month through a screen and everything with her, and changed that. But Celeste is retiring this month from a midwife, and she's going to go back and get her doctor. Isn't that awesome? She's finally doing what we thought she should have done. It took her most of her life, so we're still very proud. But it is hard. Yeah. With Abigail, Abigail was just so different. Abigail would come home and go, I'm trying out for basketball tomorrow. And I go, okay, have you ever bounced a ball? Nope, it don't look that hard. Have you ever, you know the game, what you doing? Maybe we should go out and shoot something in the back. You know, I just found out this, but she tried out for it. So she goes, she comes back. I'm expecting to go, no, they said I was the worst person ever. And she goes, they made me a cheerleader. I'm going to be a cheerleader. Oh. And
you know where you'd be good. Not on the court, on the side of the court.
But she ended up going to college as a cheerleader. So, I mean, Abigail was always the worker in our family. She said that she would work. You give her a job and she did it. She's worked since she was 14, 15 with dogs and animals and all of that stuff. And so, again, my job as a parent was not to say, I don't know if you should do that, but just go, all right, go out there and get it. I'll be here to pick you up.
May the odds be ever in your favor. There you go. Where are we at, Danielle?
Oh, so we talked about your... What was your dad's answer to that question?
He wished that... the thing that he said he did wrong, which honestly was the reason I wanted to ask my dad that question, is part of me wanted to hear him take ownership for some of the things from our lives and our childhood. And honestly, I learned so much about my dad that day.
With that answer.
And what I thought I was going to walk away and be like, you know, well, good, I got you to say something. I walked away with so much compassion for my dad.
Right.
And it changed the way I saw my dad afterwards. One of the things he said that he did right was taking us camping and getting us into the outdoors, even though when he would do that, it was a lot of times out of necessity, not just for fun, we're going to go camping. But it was like when my parents got divorced and it was his weekend, he just rented a room from places. And he couldn't take his four kids.
No.
So we would go camping, or we would stay at the Motel 6 or, you know, whatever motel. And that was our weekend with our dad. But so a lot of times, like, we have such fond memories of camping with our dad. Yeah. And it was really because he had nowhere else to take us. So those were the things that he said he did right. The thing he said he did wrong is, when my parents got divorced, I think he was so angry at my mom that he wouldn't show up to our events, like our cheerleading. Yes.
Yeah, I could see
that. Our cheerleading competitions, our football games that we were cheerleading. He wouldn't come.
I would, to that dad over there, go to everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Miss very little.
And that's what he said he wishes he did. He wishes he's right. He
even if it's a dance recital and the last one, you waited out.
Yeah. Investing in us and right. and not worrying about how angry he was at.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I almost have a not similar, but it's the same ending. So all these years I found out about my mom. I found out things that I shouldn't know. I found out things that my brothers and sisters don't know.
Mm.
But it answered all the questions of my life about my mom. I found out why she got in trouble, why she lived in Louisville instead of Nashville, and why she had all of her friends. We never see her family. I didn't know. And I found out what happened to her when she was a teenager. And it was horrible.
Mm.
And I can't even imagine how horrible it was. And so in the meantime, first of all, when I first become a Christian, I go back and tell my mom, you're going to hell. And that's not a good way to do it. And so, but I was trying to help. I was being honest. So,
look, I was trying to help.
I go, I'm going to hell. We're all going to hell. We got to figure it
out. We're all going to hell, especially you.
You're the worst. But so she hated me even more. Got my brothers and sisters all hate me and everything for a while. So then I found out this secret. And so I go back, and now I go, I know about your secret. I know the worst day of your life, and I would never judge you by that. And try it again. But all she heard was, I know your secret.
Mm.
And she didn't want nobody to know her secret. And she couldn't get over that. And that year, I was coming home for Christmas. My mom punished me more than once with Christmas by Santa didn't bring me no gifts or anything. Mm-hmm. She said, Santa doesn't like you.
Mm.
Nope, you were bad, and this is, and I was bad and all that. But she said, he ain't bringing you nothing. And watch five brothers and sisters open up gifts and you get nothing. It's tough as a kid. Mm. And I came home once and tried to be right with her at Christmas, and she gave Nate a pair of socks, and she gave all my other sisters and them kids like Nintendo games and Atari game at that time and all this beautiful stuff, and he got a pair of socks. And I went, you're not doing this to him what you did to me. I'm not gonna allow this to happen. So I went 12 years without ever talking to her.
Wow.
So then I find out the secret, and I go, I know your secret. I'm not gonna judge you. She hears, I know your secret. That's it. So now she tells my other sisters, any event we have, if he comes, I won't come. Because she's so afraid I'm going to tell. And I don't blame her, but, so all right. So I go the rest of my life. I tried to visit her when she ended up in the nursing home. And I would try to visit her. She'd always make an excuse for me to leave. 5 minutes. She'd always say, I have to go to the bathroom. And she'd stay in there until I left. I just, all right, fine. So at the end, she got COVID in the nursing home. They put her downstairs where all the COVID people were because she got injured, and she catches it. My sister called, said, so I had the same moment you had with your dad. She goes, my sister says, and she's a believer, and she said, you got to go talk to mom. She's not going to live a couple more days. And she said, God told me that you have to do that. And I said, tell God to call me.
Okay.
And
he has my phone number.
He can get it. Put in anything. I'll listen. But, of course, I couldn't let it go. So I go up. I didn't have no way of getting in the hospital. So I said, go early. That's when they let people in. So I got first in line. There's a big line behind me of people that allowed in. You had to be on a clipboard. And they changed. They put one of those young guys in there, don't know what to do and don't really care. But I get up there and I go, Bargatze. And he goes, how do you spell it? And I go, just like it sounds. Smart. And he panics. He's looking everywhere and the people are getting saying, come on, man. So he goes, just go.
Yeah.
On the way up, I go, this is it. She gets to tell me she's sorry. She gets to apologize for everything she did. And I thought, how great that I'm going to get to hear. She should have known my kids, and she should have been there, and she should know. I have an awesome family. She doesn't even know them. Never seen Nate do anything or nothing, and Nate was already doing okay. And she had a Comedy Central special. He had been on Fallon a couple. She never took the time to even look at anything. So I get up there, and I walk in. She's all hooked up to the machines, and she can't talk or anything like that. And she looked at me, and I knew right away, I went, she's never going to say she's sorry. Mm-hmm. And I realized that wasn't why I was there. And I had to tell her I was sorry. And when you learn what mercy is, grace is easy to accept. Mercy's hard to give. Mm. I had to forgive her without her asking for it. She would never have been able to ask me to forgive her. She didn't have that in her. But I had to say, hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't a better son. I'm sorry. I stole a car when they beat me up that time. She didn't make me steal cars. I did stupid stuff. I didn't do work in school. I didn't do. I said, I'm sorry that I made your life worse than it was. That you had a heck of a time trying to be a mom as a young kid, and I made it worse. And I said, I'm sorry you didn't know my kids, and I should have made you know my kids. And I'm sorry we didn't know each other. And stuff, and I didn't know how to love you, and I didn't know how to talk to you. And I said, but if you just pray with me and pray, you can, God can forgive everything is, and you can be in heaven. And when I get in heaven, we have all eternity to get to know each other. And I believe so I was able to get that moment that you had with your dad. I had to realize it wasn't coming. It may come later, but it'll have to be in heaven. And so, but I, you know, it gave me, that's all I needed, you know? I just needed to know I can accept and give her mercy.
I'm wondering, was this a gift for her or a gift for you? It was a gift for both of you? Like, in that moment, like, as soon as you said, I get to hear her say, I'm sorry, I already knew, no, you don't. She will never.
Yeah.
And I felt the hurt for you because I've felt that hurt.
Right.
And I said, oh, my God. But then when you saw her, I think, is that when God said, this is why you're here?
Right. And exactly.
It's not like you were preparing words all the way up and... It's just, boom, son, this is where you're here.
Right. God.
What a gift for both of you.
Yeah, and I needed it. So again, I want to say I felt like it was for me, but I hope it's for her, and she really was honest, and I hope that we...
I definitely feel like it was your gift, but...
It was mine.
She get to have some of the overflow of it.
I understand. Bless her heart, you know.
When did she pass after that?
The next day.
Wow.
Yeah, she died the late night. My sister got to go and have a similar talk to her too. She was the meanest to me and my sister, the one right below me. She was mean to all of them in a way, but the hardest on her.
Yeah. And, after you softened her up a little bit, you did the pickle jar. You loosened it up. Okay.
And the funny thing, so then didn't have a ton of friends or anything like people like that because she lived isolated on purpose. Mm. But they asked me to speak at the funeral.
Wow.
And I just remember thinking, I'm the last person. Uh-huh. That butter been real for her. She's going to be rolling around in her grave going, anybody with him. And but I opened with the greatest joke ever because it was on, they buried on November the 20th. 2020, and it was our anniversary. So I get up there, and the first thing I go, I look around, I go, I'm sorry, my wife is here, and this is our anniversary, and everything's great. Honey, I didn't have time to plan anything for us today or to get you anything, but I think there's a real good chance you're going to get some flowers when this is over. Isn't that great? But I also was able to share with my brother and sisters a little about mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was your closer, I know your secret.
I would have been, I left my call back. Now you're going to make me feel guilty. Let's do the funeral over.
No. And on that, things we wished we would have said. Oh my gosh, Stephen, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us and your vulnerability and your honesty and,
I'm going to go real quick because I know you're wrapping up too, but I have you don't know this, and you don't, and half, you won't know this until it happens.
Okay.
But grandkids are God's greatest gift to you. I can't explain it. You have to experience. But my first grandchild was Esther. And I remember from Africa, that's a name popular in Africa, but for us, you have to be 100 to have that name. And, so me and my wife, the old time, was going, the oldest lady's name. But when we held her for the first time, and we knew that she was Esther, and it was the greatest. I don't know, with your kids, you're responsible. You feel like I'm always responsible, and I always got to make sure they make it. Can they make it in the world where they have enough money, where they make on their own, where people like them? But with your grandkids, you just go, I only have to love them.
Yeah.
I only have to be the best. And it's such a different feeling. You know, it's a different type of love that it's different than your child.
Let me ask you this, though. Is there a level of difficulty when it comes to you aren't the one that makes the final decision? Like, you would do it this way, but you can't because it's not yours.
Yeah. All right.
That's the thing where you just get to love them. You're like, yeah, but then also you're going to, because you love them, you're going to want to say, I wouldn't do it that way.
Here's where I can share this. I think I might have talked about it a little bit on other ones, but... So Abigail is, because of my childhood, the way we live and everything's affected, you know. I grew up, Santa Claus had a deal with my mom that they bought all the gifts. So you'd come down early in the morning, every gift there was from Santa. Nothing was wrapped in whatever, whatever. So it was just this battle and then everything gone. That's why twice in a row... that when I had nothing, nobody even noticed. Mm. That was the part. The thing that hurt me the most is that no one noticed.
Mm.
But so to make sure that doesn't happen in my house, I talk to Santa Claus, and we have a deal that he brings a couple gifts, two or three at the most, and he brings those in the morning. He doesn't wrap them because why would he start wrapping things for us? He never has. Mm-hmm. And then we have breakfast, and then we come back, and every other gift is from each other. I made Abigail, you know, you buy your brothers good stuff, they buy you stuff, and you get your mom. And so I go, Angela, this is from me, not some, not
that's
Santa,
right. That's
from
right.
me, I want you to know. And so I thought that was a thing that I said, I'm gonna make sure that they know. Mm-hmm. And Abigail's down there talking to her son. She was living with us in a mother-in-law apartment downstairs, and we share a laundromat area in both houses. So I was coming down, but I could hear them and they're talking. And Abigail was going, no, Caleb, that's not the way it is. Santa only brings three gifts. And then the rest of this, and there's that moment. Yeah, I don't control them. But to know that something that I taught her, and within, when you see it become a part of your children and stuff. In that movie, Breadwinner, the scene where Nate is having the campfire, and he's telling, that is so my family. And that is so the way I would tell a story and grab and do that. And I make the story about them. Yeah. And, you know, the book I ever read, I put my kids' names in there, you know. You know, it wasn't Goldilocks, it was Abigail. Mm-hmm. Then this big bear named Derek, which, you know, become. So I always made it about them, and he did that. He does that.
Yeah.
That's when you can see, you may think you don't have the control, but
you already did it.
It's you've done the work.
That's really special.
Yeah.
I have a long time until I get there. My daughter's only 3.
Yeah, you got it. I know.
But
that don't mess up now.
That is really special.
Realize that you and your daughter are going to hate each other for a little while.
Well, here's the
thing.
That's
going to come.
I was awful to my mom.
Yep, it's going to come back.
And I've called my mom so many times to apologize to her. And this is before I even had her daughter. Like, just when I grew up and I changed and I matured my brain developed, and I would remember how awful I was to my mom.
Wow.
And I would call her out of the blue one day and just apologize for those times. And then time would go on, and then I would be thinking about it again, and I'd just pick up the phone again and apologize again for how awful I was. So I'm hoping that God will remember the seeds that I've sown.
She did back off a little bit.
In my apologies, more so than how I actually was.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, they do come back in late teens and everything, and they do that. A daughter will always, a son will forget that anything ever happened.
But
they're just different. They do come back, and they can, Abigail, my wife's best friend is Abigail, no doubt about it.
That's sweet. Stephen, thank you so much for your time and your everything, your stories, and congratulations on your special.
All right.
It is
first
now out.
It's out.
First in the head. This one may pop off. It just came out today. Okay. So it's about to pop off. And next thing you know, you got seven specials.
I want to ask one thing from you.
Please.
I want to open for you one time.
Oh, somewhere. Really?
Just go
I would love it. Yeah. I'm not on the road right now, but when I am, let's do it.
Next time, I would love to come and meet your audience.
I don't know if I have the five-star travel accommodations as your son. No.
Well,
but
we can do a local where I don't have to get on the bus.
If you're okay with a hotel Marriott.
Yes. Marriott, my daughter. She gets the points for that. I'm a Hilton person. But
okay.
But I can work with either one.
If you're good with Boarding Group B of Southwest.
But I'm also good just to come and meet and drive down and do something. I just would love to.
That'd be so fun.
I just think I've seen you, and your audiences would be mine. You and Leanne Morgan already thought, these are my people.
I would love that. That would be so fun. We'll make sure it's a real special show.
Y'all heard all
show.
That, so if I don't.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you all for watching and listening. Yes, it was fun, Jalen.